Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Looking at tonight, the race for life and death. The race for life and death. Psalm 19. And we'll start in verse 1 in just a moment. And amen. Brother Jesse, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Excuse me. Psalm 19 in verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit under the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Verse 5 says, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. You know, when we were conceived, we were entered into a race, this race of life, or a race for death. And we have been witness to life recently and to death. A race for life and a race for death. This week, we were witness to a race for life. The birthing process began and a race was on to get home. A motor home was seen by some flying through the hills and through the freeways and maybe through some country roads, headed for home because the race for life was on, and it was successful. Praise the Lord. But while that motor home was fleeing the state of New York for home, I thought about, you know, here is a race for life leaving that state. And I just thought of the sad race for the people that go to that state for abortions. It's the number one state in America for abortions, the most abortions, New York City being the most abortions of any city. And I just thought, what a contrast. In this nation in which we live, here's a race for life out of that state, and here, how many hundreds race for New York because of its liberal abortion laws to get abortions there, especially late term. So a race for life, and then we think of that sadness of those racing for that state for death. But then I think of another couple today who lost their little precious baby, and Doesn't it get you, these people that are in favor of abortion? I mean, we have been through such an emotional roller coaster. We just had a little baby born that the midwife didn't get there on time. And then we've got a race from one state to another for life. And then we've got a couple that had almost finished their race, almost. And that little precious baby died. And they're in mourning, and we're in mourning for them. And then I thought of all of these people. I thought of these politicians. I think of our emotions this week. I mean, we have been in prayer for people that are in the middle of the race, and now we're in prayer for people that are in sorrow, and it's all over these precious little babies. And then you think of these people who campaign for abortion. I'm talking about politicians that part of their campaign is that they are in favor of murdering these babies. Tell me, please tell me how people vote for those people, because they are, those politicians are more vile than anything I can imagine at this point. Our prayers have been for life this week. Our emotions, our tears have been for those who almost had that life in their hands, but it was denied. And then I think of these groveling politicians who stand up in front of thousands and millions of people on a platform of abortion to pander for their votes. Can you tell me how anyone can vote for these most vile people? Can you tell me how they can vote for people who stand on a premise of freedom to murder your baby? At this point, I can't imagine it. Can you? I just can't imagine it, how anyone could live with themselves standing for abortion. I've had people tell me, well, all politicians are liars. Well, you know what? Maybe that is true, but not all politicians are murderers. You know, when I vote, the first question that comes up to my mind is this candidate for abortion or against it? Well, if they are for abortion, they don't have my vote, because I'm not voting for some vile, cruel, heartless murderer. I'm not going to do it. And this week is just my tears and my prayers have been for all of these in their pursuit of life. And at this point, I can't imagine anyone being so vile as to stand for abortion. I just can't imagine what is inside of them. I can't imagine it. The cold-blooded killing of babies. I just can't imagine it. I watched the governor of New York, you can see it online, I watched the governor of New York signed a piece of legislation a little over a year ago. The most liberal abortion laws in America, New York has. In fact, they were the first state in the union to legalize abortion. They legalized it in 1970. The Supreme Court did not hear the case until 1973. That tells you something about them. And I watched the clip, and you can too online. The governor signing this thing a little over a year ago, and everyone in the room with a big smile, as soon as he got done, a big smile and clapping for them. And then the governor of New York kissed the lawyer that argued Roe versus Wade and won before the Supreme Court. He kissed her after signing that legislation. These people are monsters. They're vile monsters is what they are. I just can't imagine what's in their thoughts. I just can't. Now notice in Numbers 35 and verse 33. The Bible says, so ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood, it what? Defileth the land. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. You know something? To me, in my mind, there is no mistaking at all why there were more coronavirus deaths in New York than any other state of the union. And it's no, in my mind, there's no mistake why more elderly people in the state of New York were killed by coronavirus than any other state in the union. In my mind, it's no surprise to me that the government of New York, the state government, sent these coronavirus patients to nursing homes, and they had this catastrophic death of these elderly people. Why? Someone who has no regard for the little babies is going to have no regard for the elderly either. They're cruel and they're vile. And notice with me in Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, they may scoff. The same governor told conservatives if they didn't like New York, get out. Well, you know what? Maybe he'll be the one that's put out in shame and disgust. In Galatians 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also what? Reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You know, please don't get me wrong. I don't wish the death of any of these vile politicians that campaign for abortion. My greatest desire is that these people would repent and get saved. That's my greatest desire. Just like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was vicious and vile against Christians. But he repented and got saved. He did suffer a lot of consequences because of that, but he did get saved, and that's my prayer. So what should we do? Well, let's go back to Psalm 19. What should we do? As I mentioned, this has been an emotional roller coaster this week, up and down. Psalm 19, verse 1. And so number one, if you're taking the notes, the race to be a witness for our Creator. So the title is The Race for Life and Death. Where do we fit in? Well, number one, the race to be a witness for our Creator. No, we're not products of evolution. We are not a fetus when we're in the womb. We are a person, a beating heart. Our hearts were touched as the dear couple in Grand Rapids today and yesterday faced that news that no baby's heartbeat could be detected and then confirmed by the hospital, and then stillborn baby delivered this morning. And God has a purpose for every life. And we don't know all the reasons why sometimes babies die even before they can be born. We don't have all the answers. But we're to be a witness to our Creator. So in verse 1, once again, the heavens declare the glory of God. So the question is are we? Are we declaring the glory of God? The heavens are. Are we? Are we a new creation in Christ Jesus? Or when people look at us, can they not see anything of our Creator in us? A new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Is there anything new that the lost can see in us? And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Is that true of us? Is that true of us that day unto day that we also utter speech that glorifies God? I mean, does anyone ever hear anything about the true and the living God from our lips? I mean, they'll hear his name cursed from other lips, but will anyone hear God praised through our lips? I was inquiring about something online, and so the person online answered my questions through a chat, and then the person said, "Can I do anything else for you?" And so I witnessed to them about the Lord. And then it was like another generic response. They didn't want to say anything back. Will anyone hear about God from us? Day unto day utter speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. And are we the same all the time? I mean, when it's the daytime, are we serving Christ? When it is the nighttime, are we serving Christ? I think it was yesterday morning. I was looking out our back window, and there was something walking across way back there. And I thought, is that a fox? It doesn't look like it's walking like a regular dog. I got the binoculars, and it was a coyote. It's like, what are you doing out here? You evil creature, you're supposed to be of the night. What are you doing out? Are we different from the day and the night, or are we serving God? Verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So are we a witness to the Creator, our Creator? Notice in Psalm 24, you know, the devil does not want that. In Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is what? The Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and what? They that dwell therein. You see, if God created this world and if God created mankind, this world is God's and we are God's. He is our master. He should be. And God is holy, as we read on in verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his what? Holy place, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. So God is holy, and that means we better prepare to meet our God in Amos 4:12, and so we better be living holy lives. Verse 5 says, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is what? The generation of them that what? Seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Will we be that generation? Will we be the ones that seek him? Or will we slither and slink along like these vile politicians, pandering for votes based upon the death of innocent children, babies? It's hard to imagine. So number one, in this race for life and death, we are to be a witness for our Creator. Number two is the race to be a light for our Creator. And back in chapter 19, Psalm 19, verse 4, we need to be a witness for our Creator. We need to be a light for our Creator. Verse 4 of Psalm 19, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for what? The sun, which as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Well, a bridegroom coming out of his chamber should, Lord willing, have a smile on his face because he has a bride. Verse 6, his goings forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The sun. You know, when the sun comes out, it heats up everything. At first in the morning, normally there's no breeze or very little, unless some type of front is coming through. But you get the sun up and it starts to heat the air, and you get all kinds of currents going on. And before you know it, the wind is blowing back and forth. And which way is the wind blowing in our lives? You know, that's that illustration that Jesus gave to Nicodemus. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You can't see the wind, but you can see what the wind is doing. And what is the Spirit of God doing in our lives? How do people see us blowing? Are we like these groveling politicians, these pandering politicians, blowing with every vile idea that comes along? I hope not. I pray that we are a light, as this passage talks about the sun coming up. Notice in John chapter 3, in verse 19, we're living in a vile, vile world. In John 3, in verse 19, I think of all day long, a couple in Grand Rapids is sitting with their precious little baby that's now with the Lord, and they're in sorrow. But I think of all of the people that go into these hospitals and abortion clinics to kill their babies. How much they feel when they come out. It's hard to imagine they can be happy. in John 3 and verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved what? Darkness rather than light, because their deeds were what? Evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to what? The light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Are our deeds wrought in God? Is there light in our lives? I notice in chapter 5 of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, Matthew 5, 14. Matthew 5, 14. Ye are what? The light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And it's true. If we are living for Christ, it can't be hid. We were stranded this week down on a freeway. A car overheated, and a state trooper came along, wanted to know if we needed any help. And then he got back in his car, and we were just waiting for a tow truck, and they were just swamped, so we never did get a tow truck. But anyway, after a little while, the officer backed up, and I just thought, you know, about him looking at our license plate, you know, Bible for you. And on that car, the license plate is up. I mean, you can't miss it on that. The ones that are on the bumper, you know, you might or you might not notice if the license plate says a certain thing. But I just pray that that struck home in that officer's heart. Bible for you. I noticed I was coming into town, I think it was last week, and a truck went by me on the two-lane section in town. And as soon as he got by me, he stuck his hand out the window and gave me an obscene gesture. What had I done to him? Nothing but have that license plate. And you know what? He didn't like that. Bible for you. Have you ever noticed in the park ministries how people try to show their anger? I mean, sometimes they yell. There was one that yelled. What's usually the way they try to show their anger? They rev their motor. And just, you know, whether it's a motorcycle, a truck, a car, they'll just, I mean, if they're trying to get back, if they're trying to shake their fist at God, they'll do it by revving their motor. What does that mean? Nothing. Nothing when they stand before Christ. But in Matthew 5, 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And we shouldn't try to hide our light. Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We shouldn't try to hide it. We should let our light shine. We shouldn't be ashamed of it. We sing the song, I saw the flag to follow, the cause for which to stand. I think sometimes if we as Christians wouldn't try to hide our light, but let it shine. We shouldn't be the ones that blush or act ashamed. The world should be the ones doing the blushing. So the race, in this race for life and death, we need to run the race as a light for our Creator. Number three, the race to get out the Word of God, the Word of our Creator. Back in Psalm 19, Psalm 19, verse 7, we have a race to be a witness. Even the stars at night are a witness to our Creator. We're to be a light for our Creator. In Psalm 19, then we're to get out the word of our Creator. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So we need to get it out. We need for people to hear the word of God. The testimony of the Lord is what? Sure, making wise the simple. You know, sometimes when you quote some book, you might not know if it's correct or not, but when we quote the Bible, we know it's sure. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are what? Right, rejoicing the heart. So we can rejoice in that. We know that they're right. The commandment of the Lord is what? Pure, enlightening the eyes. We know that there's no ulterior motive with the Word of God. It's not pandering to someone just to get their vote of confidence for us. It's pure. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is what? Clean, enduring forever. Out in Washington and Seattle there, they got all this whole section blocked off. And I've read some people, they're trying to charge money to get in. I mean, the people that live there, they're trying to charge them to get in. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them as thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is what? Great reward. So we're in a race. This week we've seen we're in a race for life. Some are in a race for death. May we stand apart from that crowd. Maybe we be in the race for life, not just physical life, as we've seen the precious babies come into the world, but especially eternal life. As we are in this race, this physical life, but we're looking ahead to eternal life and trying by God's grace to get the message out to repent and turn to Christ in faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is God Almighty in the flesh. He came of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect life without sin, and died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. He was buried and rose again in victory from the grave, proving that his blood was sufficient to wash away our sin. And now he ever lives to make intercession for us. Father, I pray if there should be any here tonight that have never been saved, that they would repent and receive the Lord Jesus this very night. I pray you'd help us, Lord, to be faithful witnesses for our Creator and Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.